This meeting is now being recorded.
Good afternoon. This is the May 13th meeting of the Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee to the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. I am Judge Earl, and I believe Co-Chair Sherry Carter is present. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. If I could have Stephen Chang, if you could take roll for us.
Yes, Judge, I'll be happy to. We'll start with the judges. Judge Good?
Yes.
Judge Herman? Judge Herman? Judge Lee? Judge Lee? Judge Maragonda? Judge Maragonda? Judge McCabe? Judge McCabe? Judge Smith? Judge Smith? Rick Feldstein? Rick Feldstein?
I'm here.
Jacob Fleming?
Here.
Jose Guillen? Jose Guillen? Michael Planet?
I'm here.
Brian Taylor?
Here.
David Yamasaki?
I'm here.
Was there anyone who joined us after I started taking roll? Any members? Do you want me to go over it again, Judge Earl, for those who did not
take
presence initially? Judge Herman?
Judge Herman emailed me he was not able to attend.
Okay. Judge Lee, I think, is not going to be able to attend either. Judge Lee? Judge Maragonda? Judge McCabe?
He'll be on momentarily. This is Rick Feldstein.
All right. Judge Smith? And Jose Guillen? Okay.
Do we have a quorum?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
All right. Then we will start. Are there any other members that have joined us since we've taken roll? Any new members? All right. We will start.
Actually, Judge Earl, we don't actually have a quorum. We have one, two, three, four, five, six of the 14 members.
But you have Sherry and I.
And you, yes, so six.
Isn't that eight?
Okay. Brian McCabe.
Nine.
We have a quorum.
All right. Thank you, Judge McCabe. Has anybody else joined the call since we took roll? All right.
Colin Simpson.
Thank you, Colin. The first order of business is for approval of the February 4th minute meetings. Has anyone had an opportunity to review those and would make that motion?
This is Brian Taylor, and I actually have a correction to the minutes.
Okay.
So at the meeting, we adopted that there would be a shift from the regional office assistance group in both 15-16 and 16-17 of 200,000. And in the minutes, it only got in for 16-17, so I would like to correct the minutes.
All right. You're making that amendment at this time?
Yes.
So 2015-16 and 2016-17?
Correct.
All right. Is there anyone who would like to move the minutes? Hello? Anybody going to move the minutes?
I'll move the minutes.
McCabe second.
Yamasaki first and Judge McCabe second. Is there any discussion on the minutes? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are approved. We did receive written public comments today. We received letters that were provided to committee members, I believe, yesterday. It's from one from the court executive officer from Lake County, one from the court executive officer from Modoc County, another from the court executive officer of Plumas, and the last one was from the court executive officer of San Benito. Is there anyone who didn't receive those public comments? All right, excellent. The first item on the agenda is a discussion of the governor's May which was released this morning, and I believe Finance Director Zlatko Theodorovic is going to speak to that.
I am. Thank you, Judge Earl. In brief, some of the items here that I think are of note for us. Number one is that the administration is including funding for the V3 replacement that we proposed to them, which I think is fantastic news for us. I think the comment that they included in their May revision about this funding will enable these trial courts to establish a digital court foundation by implementing a modern and supportable case management system needed to efficiently deliver services to the public is an important statement that they're making. In discussions with the Department of Finance regarding this particular request, they were very interested in understanding our future needs and the path that the branch is on in terms of moving forward with modern case management systems for all the trial courts, and how that can lead to bigger needs of, as far as data and collection of that data from a statewide basis. So they definitely are indicating their support in spite of what was shown as a $1.9 billion revenue reduction in their projections as compared to the January budget. This is quite an investment from them, and we're very pleased about that. There's a continued backfill of the revenues for the base allocations for the TCTF, but at this juncture, they are not in their May revision doing anything with respect to civil assessment revenue reductions that we have been working with them, and they've been contacting some courts to find out about how that all works. So obviously tempering our happiness with the V3 is that issue not being funded. In terms of any other major changes in the governor's budget, those are really it from a trial court perspective. Wanted to give you a quick, and again, we are still sort of tracking down some changes that we don't see yet and trying to track down staff. As far as the legislative process and the budget goes, I'm happy to report that the IMF funding that was included in the January budget has been approved by both houses thus far, and therefore will not go to the budget conference committee. It's in both versions of the budget. And so we fully expect that $8.7 million that I believe is anticipated in all the documents in terms of fund conditions for the IMF going forward. So those are good. Obviously, if there's some major revenue change that can occur, we still have, a month left of the budget process for the legislature to do their work before the June 15th deadline. But we fully anticipate those now supported by the Assembly and the Senate with no issues to be part of the final budget. Other proposals such as the language access, information system controls for security have also been approved by both houses. And so, we're making, I think, good progress. We would have liked to have seen a bit more in the May revision. I think in light of the governor's statements about, I don't know how many people were able to track any of the press conference, but the governor being the governor that he is, brought up the Aesop's fable about the ants and the grasshoppers about needing to save for the winter while the summer bounty is still there. And so his theme of no significant ongoing expenditures. It's rare that the May revision documents would have any emphasized text, but this was actually an underlined statement made. No significant new ongoing spending commitments should be made. So I think that the recognition of our total three-year need of the V3 of almost $25 million over 3 years, I think is quite a commitment by the administration for IT. And obviously that provides the IMF relief when we are no longer providing that V3 support out of the IMF. I think that I'm going to have to get off the phone in a couple of minutes to talk to Martin. So hopefully if there's any questions, you can sneak him in real quick before I have to leave the phone call.
So, Zlatko, this is Judge Earl.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed, so there wasn't any mention of funding for Dependency Council. Do you believe that the legislature will be fighting or asking for that?
Yeah. Given the significant interest in the legislature and the hearings that have been had related to not only Dependency Council, but equal access. We know there's folks talking about issues with court reporters. So there's going to be activity when the May revision hearings come, either late next week, once the legislative analyst has been able to review the proposals and get their comments out. So we anticipate hearings either starting late next week or early the week after that. And it's a typical strategy. I mean, if the governor is aware that there's some high-priority issues of the legislature, letting them put that in and that being part of the negotiation over the budget. But let's just understand that the governor made some comments about wanting to stay as close as possible to his proposed budget as possible. He knows he made some updates regarding housing for low-income folks. That was, I think, a nod to legislative leadership's priorities. There's a number of priorities that were identified at the press conference by the press that the governor was asked about, and you know, he said there's a lot of progress that's been made, but we can't afford everything. And a dollar spent today with revenues that won't be there tomorrow will mean a cut tomorrow. So he's being pretty conservative with his expenditure plan and planning for a rainy day. But we continue to advocate, obviously, for our Dependency Council funding as part of the branch priorities.
And, Zlatko, do we think the legislature will also find any interest in trying to fill the hole with the civil assessment? I know the governor's does not, but do we think there's any hope there?
We have been talking to the legislative folks for the last 2 months about this issue. So we have created interest, whether or not they see fit to deviate from the governor's plan. But we, for example, the letter in support of funding the lost civil assessments from Riverside, has made its way through the legislative leadership there. And so, you know, we continue to bring that issue forward for them. Is there hope? Well, the hope will end when the budget is signed and it's not in there, but we definitely are pushing on that. And they understand it. But the Department of Finance has sort of expressed at the core, they throw it as it's local revenues. And their policy has been to not to fund local revenue changes, even though they come at the result of legislation that's beyond our control. So,
any other quick questions for Zlatko?
Zlatko, is there any talk about a trailer bill involving the reserves? I know there's a bill moving through the Assembly.
No trailer bill would be coming from the administration. So the Obernolte bill would be the one that would be moving through the process.
All right. Unless there's any other questions, we're going to let Zlatko go. One last chance. All right. Thank you, Zlatko.
No, thank you, Judge. I appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Bye. The next item on the agenda is a funding request from Placer Court regarding hosting of other trial courts, and I believe we have Judge Justice Slough on the line as well as Jake Chatters, and I believe I also heard that Judge Buckley, who's vice chair of the Judicial Council Technology Committee, is on the line as well, so we'll turn it over to you folks.
Thank you, Judge Earl. This is Marcia Slough, and so I'm joining you guys today as chair of Judicial Council Technology Committee to speak on this item and inform you of JCTC's recent action regarding this same request. For a little bit of background, this work actually began quite some time ago. Back in April of 2014, the Judicial Council directed JCTC to evaluate Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee's recommendation of having the committee develop a plan to eliminate the subsidies from the IMF and the Trial Court Trust Fund to courts for V3 and the Sustained Justice Edition courts, the costs associated with that. and also to circle back and make recommendations to Judicial Council. What a good day to have this discussion coming on the May revise and learning that the V3 is included in the May revise. I think that is great news for the branch as a whole. And I think it bodes well for where the executive branch is looking as it relates to technology moving forward, as Lotko mentioned. So related to the sustained justice case management systems, Judge Herman, and at the time was JCTC chair, along with Rick Felstein, who is a member of JCTC as well as TICBAC, met with members of the SJE courts in the spring and summer of 2015. The sustained courts were aware that they would eventually need to replace the SJE application due to the fact of the software's aging, technology, and underlying infrastructure used to host that application. Additionally, with TICBAC's recommendation to eventually eliminate statewide funding for the sustained program, the SJE courts indicated that they could not afford to pay the full cost of hosting at the CCTC without any help. Couldn't say the word, so I'll change it. They also indicated that they did not have money to move forward to replace their case management systems. At that time, the SJE court said that they would consider other hosting options away from CCTC for any replacement case management system. In September of 2015, we met with the SJE Consortium of Courts to communicate what would be needed for them to put together a BCP to seek funding for replacing the SJE application. During that call, most of the courts indicated that they were interested in working with Judicial Council staff on putting together a BCP for submission. Thereafter, JCTC formed a subgroup to work with the courts, the SJE courts, and we began regular meetings. Our first meeting was actually on Christmas week of December 2015, and everybody showed up, which I think demonstrates the motivation and the interest in moving forward on behalf of these courts. The work of the subgroup included determining the best hosting option for the courts on their current case management system. It also included preparing a request for proposal for a replacement case management system, and will soon include drafting a BCP for replacing their current case management systems. Currently, Judicial Council staff assists these 9 courts, which are hosted at CCTC. That is a Tier 3 data center. I've learned a lot about the tiers lately. There are 4 tiers, probably more than I ever dreamed I would know about. A Tier 3 data center can maintain and replace the equipment within the trial court without shutting down trial court operations. And I'm just simplifying it. There's much more to it. In any event, a point of concern was raised of whether the move away from CCTC would create a risk if the courts were moving to a tier that was lower than Tier 3. The courts involved in this proposal before you, as I said, would be moving from the CCTC, which is a data center that was actually sized and scoped to handle a centralized case management system for all of the trial courts. They would be moving from that data center to a local solution, that being the Placer Court. The Placer Court has shared the data security and backup model with these courts. This model, as I understand it, includes the use of a backup solution in the cloud, which I understand actually resides in a Tier 3 and Tier 4 data center, a model that the courts are comfortable with. All that to say, any risk issue that has been raised has been shared with the courts. They've been educated about any and all issues related to the tier backup and co-hosting issue, and they are comfortable with that limited risk. with that background, at the April 14, 2016 JCTC meeting, the JCTC received a report on the request for funding information technology infrastructure for a 7-court consortium and scenarios for eventual elimination of subsidies from the trial court trust fund and the improvement and modernization fund for the interim case management systems, as well as the managed court program, the hosting program. Jake Chatters, in his role as court executive officer for the Placer Superior Court, presented 3 scenarios to us, and David Kuhn, manager for Judicial Council Information Technology, presented 2 additional scenarios for our consideration. The committee reviewed these possible scenarios for the elimination of the subsidies from the TCPF and the IMF, as well as the proposals for the managed court program, the hosting model with Placer. After discussion, the committee voted to move the sustained hosted courts away from the current IMF subsidizing funding structure and away from the CCTC and to transition to a new hosting model and consortium, as well as to work with TICBAC to find one-time funding to support this initiative. They also voted to continue to support these courts in acquiring modern case management systems. With that background, I want to turn it over to Jake Chatters, who will now provide the specific details as it relates to the request before you today. Thank you.
Thank you, Justice Lau. So in the materials that were provided for the meeting, I believe in the PDF they start around page number 6. And after about the 2 pages that Justice Lau just walked through related to the JCTC actions, there are 2 separate memos from me, essentially. The first one, dated March 1st, went to both JCTC and to Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. And it's really the second item that I think is before you as a request. We'll come back to that one. The one that I want to touch on first is that the lengthier document that starts labeled Attachment B, and it starts on page 16 of the PDF. I'm not going to walk through each of them, but this document was provided to JCTC in an effort to identify what exactly would be the cost to each court that are involved in both the managed court and the ICMS-hosted solution if 6 of the courts were to leave and there was not a policy decision to handle the remaining. There's 3 remaining, but one of them already has plans to leave the CCTC, so the remaining 2. So in that document, which again I'm not going to walk through in any great detail, it lays out 3 separate scenarios that were discussed by JCTC, all of which focused on the policy decision to eliminate subsidies from the IMF, specifically related to the hosting portion of the SJE or ICMS program. Scenarios 1 and 2 did not move all courts off of CCTC for this purpose, and in those contexts, while the IMF saves money, it results in a rather significant increase on the costs for those courts that participate in that program. Scenario 3 presents still a policy decision to eliminate the use or eliminate the subsidy from the IMF beginning in fiscal year 1920 for the hosting portion of SJE. But it also lays out a plan to move those 8 courts that are currently hosted onto other solutions. And included in that are one-time costs to make that happen. And so those are laid out in detail on page number 25 of the combined PDF. That's 28 if you're actually in the PDF, but it looks like it's labeled page number 25. And this walks through one-time costs. It lays out what are the existing expenditures at the state level through the Judicial Council for hosting the ICMS program and the managed court program itself. And it proposes a tiered, over multiple years, those courts moving away from that structure. So about halfway down the page, you can see one-time transition costs related to both the Placer Court Hosting Center, which would deal with 6 of the courts, and then costs associated with Madera and Humboldt, who also would be moving away from the CCTC In Madera's case, that is moving away from the CCTC for both hosting of their case management system, and they are also managed court, so the entirety of their IT services, generalizing a little too much, but essentially the entirety of their IT services are hosted. So they need to establish their own IT department, and they're making moves to do that with the support of the Court of Appeals. In Humboldt's case, they need to only move their case management system from the current location at CCTC to a local hosting model. What are included on that table, again, about midway down, where it talks about one-time costs, those costs that relate to the Placer court portion, we've been working on with those six courts through the fall and through early in this year. We are confident in those expenditures, and any increases and decreases are relatively minor as we work through the process. The costs that are listed in terms of Madera and Humboldt are a little rougher because they haven't been working on this quite as long, but we do anticipate that those are at least directionally accurate, as we like to use on the budget calls, right? And same is true for any one-time revenue that the local courts can provide. So we presented this information to JCTC as an effort to show what it would take in one-time money in order to eliminate the entirety of the subsidy from the IMF for these services. Excuse me one sec. Excuse me. So overall, scenario three as it's laid out here reduces ongoing expenses from the IMF from what is currently expended in these programs, which I believe Stephen had a slightly different number than I did, so bear with me one second here. What is currently about almost $800,000 annually to zero in 19 and 20. And it does this in a way that ensures that those dollars are not simply shifted to these smaller courts. It does require, however, some one-time funding to make that happen. There's a specific request before you that I'll go through in just a second for those six courts participating with the Placer court, and there will likely need to be a request from both Humboldt and Madera in the future to allow them to move on to their own separate networks or their local installation. So what's before you today is whether or not the Revenue Expenditure Subcommittee wants to recommend to the full Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee to recommend to the Judicial Council the same four components that were addressed by the Judicial Council Technology Committee, which Justice Slough walked through before, but are summarized on the first page of the report. So that's the first item, and that is to whether or not to take a position on the policy element of eliminating the subsidy through this joint cooperative effort of the courts that are involved. The second part is whether you do or don't necessarily take a position on that is the specific request for funding from the Placer Court hosting participants, which totals, as Stephen laid out for you here, $736,500 in one-time funds. That is not the entirety of the cost of the program. Those courts that are participating have identified revenue that they have currently that they can set aside to provide towards this effort. These are smaller courts, and so the amount that they can provide is about $250,000, but that is about a quarter of the expense that we anticipate for the one-time transition. That $736,500 could be out of this year's budget and or next year's budget. Because of the timing that we have here, we would start the work late this fiscal year if approved, and it would transition into next year. So there is some time, whether it is this year or next year or both. The only difference is that in the event that you and the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee and then ultimately the Council decide to allocate the funds directly to the courts themselves, that decision ideally will be made early enough that those courts can enter into any contracts necessary to encumber the funds before the end of the fiscal year. So with that, I think I would just open up to any questions if you have them for me.
Jake, this is Judge Earl. I had a couple questions. I note that in the report, it indicates that your request for funding in that $700,000 figure doesn't include possible one-time funding needs of some of the other courts. You're not bringing that recommendation to us today, though?
Correct. They're still working on what the total cost of those will be.
Okay.
We had rough numbers. That's the
$1.125 million.
That's a rough estimate, but both Humboldt and Madera are working on their proposals. What do they need to build? For Madera's case, they have to build a whole IT department with servers and everything else. So they're working. The Court of Appeal is assisting them with project management support and developing that concept. I anticipate they would end up coming back to you separately. We are working on the Placer side with both Humboldt and Madera. The largest single expense, at least in the Placer side, is the DMV connection and working on establishing that DMV connection and moving it from the JCTC to our court. One thing we haven't answered yet that is outstanding that would save all three of these efforts money is whether we can run Humboldt and Madera's DMV connection through our court as well, which might allow us to do that programming one time rather than having to do it three times. And that may reduce their costs, their $1.12 million costs. But they're not ready to bring that to you yet, but that certainly would be anticipated that they will bring something forward to you in the next 12 to 18 months.
And I also noticed that Placer will have some ongoing costs associated with this.
We will have ongoing costs, yes.
Are you requesting that that be funded?
No. So the local courts are paying for that directly to us.
Okay. Okay. I think those are the only questions I had.
Judge Earl, this is David. I've got a few questions as well.
Sure.
So one of the items that, Jake, I think you identified was that the courts that would be participating in this consortium would need to perhaps get the green light and be in a position to encumber the money today so that the work can start. And this is, of course, before the conclusion of this fiscal year. Is that correct?
We would like to start the work before the end of this fiscal year because of how long it takes to get your DMV connection approved, yes.
And is that because some of the courts would then have to make a contribution towards this project, would need to commit some of the money and encumber it so that it can be booked to this year and obviously be available rather than having it revert back to the TCTF
right.
concept?
That's correct. Yep.
So I know that the Budget Advisory Committee made a recommendation to the Judicial Council to establish a mechanism so monies could be saved by each Shaw court for projects such as this. So I think there may be an opportunity to save that money going forward. So I think that's one, responsibility that may be lifted before the end of this fiscal year. The other thing that I wanted to bring up was that I know that the budget, the governor's budget in January included a mechanism for innovations, and the fact that this is somewhat of an innovation and efficiency that would certainly help many of the courts operate with greater efficiency and potentially even reduce costs for everyone. That could be a potential funding source to cover these one-time expenses, and that's precisely what that particular budget was earmarked for, or appropriation was earmarked for in the governor's budget. So if, in fact, this body approves the funding, is there any way to reimburse the Child Court Trust Fund or the IMF, can't remember which one is the source, that could keep the fund whole so that we can somehow chip away at this deficiency that the fund currently has with its existing expenses. That is kind of a detailed description of what I'm hoping to do, is to keep it whole, backfill with perhaps the innovation funding if, in fact, the Judicial Council concurs that it fits within the parameters of what was contemplated for that particular pot of money.
Jake, that reminds me, I did have one other question. Is it doesn't look like you are making any type of recommendation of where the funding comes from. Is that correct?
True.
So I wondered, Stephen, when we consider this recommendation, what our options are in terms of, I assume they would want a recommendation from us as where this funding should come from.
Right. We did provide some comments related to the disadvantages and advantages between the Trellcor Trust Fund as opposed to the IMF. And Jake did comment on the pros and cons of seeking a BCP from using general fund monies or having the courts fund it. If you, we can comment specifically on the advantages on the TCTF versus IMF if you like.
Well, but I just wondered if part of our action today would be to recommend where that funding came from, if it's approved.
Right, but are you asking for staff to provide a recommendation for?
I think I'm first asking is, are you expecting us to make a recommendation as to the source of funding?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the way I've read all the materials is that they have not, the Judicial Council staff has not made a recommendation. It's included in both the Child Court Trust Fund material as well as the IMF as a possible expenditure.
And so I'm wondering if maybe we, in addressing the requests that are before us from JCTC, we address those and then maybe after we hear about the fund conditions of both the TCTF and the IMF, then we go back to determining, to taking up the question of what the source of funding should be after the members have a kind of a briefing on what the status of those fund conditions are?
I think that's a good suggestion.
Okay.
In terms of, do you want to first find out if we, okay, do you want to take one, the request one separately from request two? You want to see if people approve request two and then we determine later which account it would come from, or do you want to delay the whole thing until after we go through the fund statement?
No, I was suggesting that we take one and two and then come back to the issue of the source of funding after we go through the fund condition statements.
Perfect.
Are there any questions for Jake or Justice Slough on the actions taken by JCTC and what they're – essentially, I think, Justice Slough, you're asking this body to approve or adopt the recommendation that was approved or adopted by JCTC.
That's correct.
Lori, this is Barry. Good. I have a
yep.
couple of questions.
Yep.
Let me preface by saying I don't know what I'm talking about. But I happened to run into Heather Pettit, and I asked her about this, and she had some concerns about feasibility of the Placer County effort and whether or not there is sufficient capacity within the budget to get this done. And she mentioned to me that there's a hosting work stream group that is working on this concept more generally. So I guess my question is this. One, to what extent has the feasibility of this been reviewed by the subject matter experts in the area? Two, how secure are we about the cost of this? And three, what happens if the costs aren't sufficient, if the $736,500 is not sufficient to get the job done, what are we looking at then?
So let me try, Judge, if I can, to address your first question about feasibility, and I'll try and answer it, I guess as much as I understand it too, right? Our court currently has 108 staff. We used to have 186. Our network is sized to deal with even more than that, and essentially what we are doing is we're bringing these users, which combine to be just about 100 users in total, onto our network. And while they'll have separate, you know, file stores and servers they're touching, it's essentially returning us back to the number of users we had pre-recession. So we aren't particularly concerned about the scope of the courts that we are adding on to our effort. In terms of being able to, how close are these estimates, we feel pretty comfortable with them. We've been through them. We had a number of calls with the JCIT staff, and they were able to identify some areas that we had missed related to some interface costs that we need to factor in, which we were able to do after our initial estimates. like any project, there's risk involved, and I certainly think that the subcommittee needs to decide what your position is on any, in the event that the costs come up higher. Certainly, if they come in lower, we would assume that we give you the money back. But if they come in higher, you'll certainly need to decide what you want to do with that information or whether you want to support future requests or not, and leave that up to you. But in terms of feasibility, I mean, I'll just say from our standpoint, we aren't particularly concerned. We won't be the first courts to do this. There are a couple of other Northern California courts that have the same sort of setup. So we're mirroring those. There have been courts before who have moved off the JCT or the CCTC for the Sustained Justice Edition. Monterey did it. We're basically mimicking what they did. We're trying to borrow their hardware. We're not sure if that's going to work out or not, so that we can actually use the same hardware to reduce risk that they used for their transition. So we're pretty confident, but there certainly is some risk involved in the effort.
May I just say, this is Sherry. I spoke to Snorri about the proposal, and he has absolutely no concerns. He feels that Placer absolutely can host. So, you know, I'm not really sure that he's also been very involved in the various work streams, and I asked him point blank if he thought, sorry, Jake, I don't mean that you to take this the wrong way, but I point blank asked him if you had the ability and the capacity, and he said he had no concerns. So I just wanted to share that too.
Good. Okay, thank you.
And this is Rick Goldstein. I'd just add that considering the size of these courts and the alternative, of course, other than to stay with the CTCC, would be to move to their own platforms or some other hosting model. But this is really an opportunity to truly look at how courts can collaborate in a very positive manner and really achieve an economy of scale. And so, you know, as Jake mentioned, there is some risk. But it sounds like that has been duly evaluated. We know what the risks are, and that weighing that those risks against the benefits, it certainly may be well worth moving forward with this project.
And this is David. I conceptually the model, I think it's solid. I think the homework has been done to try to build what's necessary to support this, and I feel the same way as the others about Placer's capacity to support it. My earlier questions related to the funding component, but not to the model that was being presented. I think it's pretty solid.
This is Mike Plant, and I concur both with David and Rick just said. I looked at the plan. I know thinking in the work that we went through to put together the BCP for the V3 replacement. There's always some element of risk. There's always some element of hope that you got it all right. But I'm very comfortable with the proposal that Jake's put together.
Are there any other questions for Jake or Justice Lau? Or Justice Lau, is there anything more you wanted to add?
No, the sense that these courts have been very motivated. They are very interested and excited about an opportunity. And, again, they're going into all of this with eyes wide open, and they view it as a very positive thing. And I echo Rick's comments that I think where we've got to just to get this proposal before you clearly demonstrates great teamwork that benefits the branch as a whole and benefits the customers that all of these courts work hard every day to serve.
Well, and I should just say, Justice Lau, that I think we all appreciate that you have followed up on this for the longest time. The small courts had been asking for help, and it took far too long for us to turn our attention to it. So thank you for following through.
You're welcome.
Is there so the action item, unless there's any other discussion, the action item really is to endorse the actions taken by the Judicial Council Technology Committee at their April meeting and to approve request 1 and 2. Am I accurate in that, Stephen?
I think in terms of endorsing, I don't think the Judicial Council Technology Committee has recommended a specific amount of money. I think in concept, they're asking to endorse the general concept request number one, and request number two is a recommendation about a specific amount of money to allocate for the proposal.
So request number two did not go before the Judicial Council Technology Committee?
Well, I think they did provide an estimate of the need, but it wasn't, I don't believe, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Justice Lyle, that they're recommending a specific amount. They're just recommending the concept.
That's right. That's my recollection of it. We thought the amount was more the purview for your committee.
So, Judge, this is David. I thought I heard earlier that there was a desire to take up this particular item independent from the funding review, the funding condition. Is that correct? If that is, I was wondering if we could review the funding condition before we actually take up this item in whole or in part.
That's fine. We can do that. I think that's next on our agenda anyways. So maybe we could, Sherry, if that's okay with you, jump to a discussion about the trust fund and the improvement and modernization fund before we vote.
Absolutely. We can come back to this item after we've reviewed those. Sure.
All right. So we will come back then to item two, and we'll move to item three, which has to do with the trial court trust fund. And I believe Colin Simpson is going to take the lead on this, correct?
That's correct, Judge.
Go right ahead, Colin.
Thank you so much. So you'll see the on pages combined 38 through combined 47, you'll see the report for the allocations from the trial court trust fund. The narrative is on pages 38 through 43, and you also may want to pay particular attention to page 42 because that provides a quick summary of the implications of funding the request in item two from the trial court trust fund. You'll also see in the attachments, which are on pages 44 through 47, you'll see the first page, 44, is the updated fund condition statement for the TCTF, and it compares what the committee saw in February after the governor's budget to what they are now based on their revision. And basically the changes reflected in there reflect changes in our revenue estimates and then any related distributions that are impacted by or funded specifically by revenues. Any of those expenditures are also updated. The fund condition statement, I'll get into more detail in a second, but basically the condition of the fund has not really changed since we talked in February. On pages 45 and 46 to 47, we provide the preliminary recommendations that the R&E subcommittee considered in December, or I shouldn't say considered, but the preliminary action that they took. You'll see them on column F of attachment 3C, page 45, and on pages 46 to 47, you'll see the preliminary actions on column E. I will note that there is one change from the preliminary actions that we list in the report narrative on page 38, and that would be related to recommendation one, and that is because of a change in the revenue projection for one of the reimbursements. And it's a very, very minor change, but I just want to make you aware of it. It's on attachment 3D, row 36, you'll see on column D that the amount is different from the amount in column E. So because this is a distribution that is statutorily restricted, or the revenue is statutorily restricted for this purpose and this purpose only, we would be updating the preliminary recommendation if you choose to accept them today as they are. We would update it with the amount that's in row 36 on column D. Basically, we're providing you with two options in this report today. The first option is whether to consider to accept the preliminary recommendations to recommend to the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee in the May 19th meeting. And the second is to also consider item two and its funding source. So it would be to consider whether or not to approve funding the request, and if so, to approve funding it from the trial court trust fund. So those are basically the two possible options, or I should say recommendations, and we provide two options for each recommendation. For the first, it's to accept the preliminary actions as they stand, and move them forward to the tick back or modify them. And then the second recommendation would be to either fund the item two request from the trial court trust fund or not to fund. And without consideration of the amount, just whether or not to fund it from the trial court trust fund. Just to give you a quick, I mentioned on page 42 that there is that implication of the implications of funding from TCTF. Basically, the implications are this. To the extent that you fund the request fully or partially, for each dollar that money is allocated because of the operating funding deficit in the TCTF, which will result in a negative unrestricted fund balance in 17-18, that you would actually have to allocate that reduction to be either to all 58 courts or to the other 51 courts that aren't part of this request. I just also want to make a couple of other notes as we go through this. The first is I want to provide a couple of caveats as it relates to the preliminary action. The first is that, you know, of course, some of these allocations that the subcommittee has considered in recommendation one are funded by statutorily designated revenues, or they are estimated costs of reimbursed services to courts. So even though these have no impact on the trial court trust fund's unrestricted fund balance, it does mean that those amounts could change as either our revenue estimates change or as the costs or the requested services change. So, but if those amounts do change, they would have no impact. So if you see a variation in those amounts, it still has no impact on TCTF because, again, they're either reflecting either an increase or decrease in the revenues, or they're reflecting a change in services, and therefore a change in costs. For recommendation two, this amount remains unchanged, and this one would not change. And if you would like, I can go through the rows that actually are reflected in each recommendation. If you would like that detail, I'd be happy to do that. The other issue I wanted to revisit that was actually already addressed and discussed by the subcommittee in December, and the subcommittee did choose not to take any action, but I did just want to remind them of these issues, are, one, the operating deficit, which will result in a negative unrestricted fund balance in 17-18, and two, the potential for a decrease in the revenues that support court-based base distributions not being backfilled by the general fund. And so you can see information as it relates to those. The table one on combined 39 and 40 shows you that our operating deficit, if we're including our assumed savings related to judges' compensation, is about $8.3 million. So that would be something that the subcommittee would need to take action on in for 17-18, not for 16-17, but for 17-18 at some point. The other issue is the other item that I'm addressing, the decline on revenues. You can see information related to that on combined page 41, table 2. And you'll see that the four-year average related to the decline in revenue is $25.2 million. So what we're recommending, or what we're providing as an option for consideration there, is that the subcommittee consider establishing a fund balance floor, so in case revenues do continue to decline, but the governor chooses not to backfill the general fund, that the judicial council and the subcommittees that support the judicial council have sufficient time to consider their options before allocating reductions to the courts. I think that's everything. Are there any questions?
Colin, can you, what spreadsheet is it or attachment is it that shows the initial recommendations made by the subcommittee?
So the initial recommendations as it relates to a narrative are actually displayed on combined 38. And you'll see recommendations 1, 2, and 3 there. And then you can actually see the actual dollar amounts related to each program displayed in attachments 3C and 3D, which are on pages 45 and 46, 47. On page 45, they're displayed in column F. And on page 46 and 47, you would see them displayed in column E.
And how does the governor's proposal in his revision today regarding the granting or approving the BCP for V3 impact the trial court trust fund for next year?
It has no impact to the trial court trust fund.
Okay.
So related to the subcommittee's initial recommendations for 1617, which is our first decision that we need to make to recommend to the trial court budget advisory committee, does anyone have any questions, or would you like Colin to further explain what our initial recommendations are? What we need to decide is whether or not we want to continue to support the initial recommendations and forward them to the trial court budget advisory committee, or modify those initial recommendations. Are there any questions? Does anyone want to move to approve the initial recommendations?
This is Brian. I'll move to approve.
Is there a second?
This is Judge Earl. I'll second.
Would anyone like clarification?
Radio silence.
Okay, so all those in favor for adopting the subcommittee's initial recommendations for the 1617 trial court trust fund allocations, say aye.
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 Are there any objections? Okay, and then I would recommend that we hold the second action item related to the trial court trust fund, and that is related to the Placer Hosting Center, because the IMF is also another source of funds that could be considered, and since we can now turn to that spreadsheet, we can see the fund condition and then go back and consider the first action item, and if it is approved, decide from which account we want to fund it from. Does that make sense, Judge Earl?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
And I think Cottrell's going to walk us through that.
Perfect.
That's correct. Okay. So that's attachment 4B or combined page 54. Specifically, you'll probably want to refer to rows 31 and 32. That'll also be table or Excel table column F. What that displays is the low-end range and the high-end range of what's available for LANWIN. Scenario one, which would be a $2 million fund balance and also funding the Placer County Court Hosting Center. And the TIC-TAP request would leave available for LANWIN roughly $16.5 million. Scenario two, which is the high-end, is a $0 fund balance. You don't take any action for Placer, and you also continue or adopt the tentative initial decisions that were made in December. That would leave roughly $19.5 million available for LANWIN in 1617. The options for consideration today, as many of you have already discussed, are to approve in 1617 the $736,500 in one-time funds to support the creation of Placer Court, approve the allocations options 4A, 4B, and C. Those are detailed on combined page 49, and they're also displayed on attachment A, which is combined page 51. The third option or item for consideration is to approve the setting aside of $2 million fund balance for 1617 to reserve against any further revenue declines. And option six, which is to allocate all of the remaining 1617 unallocated to LANWIN. I know that's a lot of information I just threw. I'm more than happy to go over each item in detail if you have any questions, which I'm sure you're likely to have.
So on page 51, the V3 costs would go away. On line 33, page 51.
No, for not in 1617, VC3 goes away in 1920, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, so the governors, I haven't had a chance to think this through, but that money is to help them get off. That's right. Okay.
Right.
So I just do want to point out that we continue to have that expense for those courts.
Just Sherry, this is Mike Planet.
Yep.
So just so you know that the my understanding is that the Department of Finance has adopted the whole package totaling $20 million. The $12 million in this year is revised as for the year one cost. So, and it's contemplated that over 3 years that we would be replacing our V3 systems.
But that money apparently is in addition to what IMF would continue to pay until the courts are fully off.
Correct.
Okay.
Any other questions or clarification?
Would anyone like a more detailed explanation of what the initial recommendations were? Do you want to have Cottrell go through the issues that we're actually going to be voting on in more detail?
Sherry, this is Rick Feldstein. I would.
Okay.
Okay. So being that there was an amendment or a revision to the minutes, option one, which was to approve the $200,000 for TIGTAP, is no longer applicable because the subcommittee has already taken action on that. So we can, it isn't necessary to discuss option one being that it's no longer applicable. Option two is somewhat still in that same category of not necessarily being applicable because it would appear as though we're going to receive the $8.7 million. Again, any allocation decision that is made today by the subcommittee is going to be contingent upon receipt of that $8.7 million. Obviously, if we don't receive the $8.7 million, we'll need to reconsider what decisions are made today. Option three is, as Jake Chatters and Justice Lau went over, is the $736,500 in one-time funds for the creation of the Placer Court Hosting Center.
So we'll hold that till the end when we have that discussion.
Correct. Option 4A. Option 4A, if you want, you can refer to attachment 4A or combine page 51. That shows what the allocations are at this moment, assuming there aren't any actions taken for Placer, for any of the other options that are up for consideration as well. Option 4B is the increase for litigation management by $160,000. And option 4, those are the, 4C, the tentative initial decisions as to regarding the $291,400 reductions to varying programs. Again, that's the aggregate in reduction for 16-17. I'm not suggesting that we're going to reduce certain programs each by $291,000. And then option 5 is the $2 million fund balance. The thing I need to make clear there is whatever actions are taken regarding the fund balance, if you increase the fund balance, that makes less money available for Landwin in 16-17, and the ramifications of that will be higher interest charges. If you lower the fund balance, it makes more money available for Landwin, reduces the interest charge, but it increases the risk of a negative fund balance should the effects of amnesty be more severe than we're accounting for. And then for option 6, that's to allocate all of the remaining unallocated money for 16-17 to Landwin. Option 6B is to allocate all of the additional funds plus any additional revenues that come in 16-17. We generally don't know until I think August 15th, right, thereabout the revenue actuals. So my point is if our revenues come in higher than we're currently projecting, it's possible we could make those additional revenues available for Landwin as well, thus further reducing the interest charges.
And what exactly, so on 6, the difference is if we put more up front to Lanwin, there are less interest charges versus paying more interest charges and saving the money in reserves. Do we have an idea of a cost for the additional interest by $100,000 contributed or $500,000 contributed? Do we have some way of gauging where it's best to place this, the limited money?
I don't have those figures with me, but I do have access to Michael Durr and Kaki Cohen, who have access to those models. So it shouldn't be that difficult to get some specificity based on the interest charges. That being said, I'm not expecting much fluctuation if we're suggesting a difference or a variation of $100,000 and let's
or
say
even $500,000.
Right.
Okay.
So, yeah, there shouldn't be much fluctuation.
Rick, did that help? Do you have any specific questions? Because I know it's complicated. This is like the 12th time I've seen these documents, so I want to make sure everyone understands what these columns mean.
Yeah. No, I think that answers my questions. Thank you.
Does anyone else have any questions? In what order would you like to take them? Do you want to start at 4, since we're going to leave 3 to go back to the Placer idea in the beginning? Do you want to start with 4 and go through those, or do you want to start with 6 and move back to 4?
Are you asking Cottrell?
Anyone.
Nope.
How about you, Judge Earl?
I think either. Doesn't matter to me.
So let's, do you want to start with, let's start with 4. Does anyone have any objections to increase the litigation management program by $160,000 and to decrease, it's basically a net, but to decrease the court's transactional assistance program? That would be 4B. Are there any concerns with B?
Sherry, this is Deborah Brown from the Legal
yes.
Services Office. That's actually a typographical error. It is intended to say $160,000 decrease to the Regional Office Assistance Group.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. So does anyone have any concerns with that? Okay. And then does anyone have a motion to support the recommendations under 4 on page 49?
Yamasaki moves in support of that recommendation.
Thank you. Is there a second?
This is Rick Saltzman. I'll send it. Seconded.
All those in favor for the recommendations under 4, that would include A, B, and C. All those in favor?
Aye.
Say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Wait, I'm sorry to interrupt. What do you mean by A, B, and C? Because each one is a specific item for
Yes. So we are we did not have an objection to B, right?
Okay.
That's just okay. And so now we're talking about them as a group.
Okay.
And I think they just got approved.
Okay.
Unless there's an objection.
Sure, this is Stephen. I just want to clarify, is the group approving 4C, the initial reductions, totaling $291,000? Because that's 4C.
Right.
Yeah.
Does anyone want to go through the reductions that were the preliminary decisions that we made in our December meeting? Do you want 4C to be highlighted specifically? Okay, I think we just approved 4 A, B, and C unless anyone has any objections.
None here.
Okay, sounds good. So 5 is whether or not we want to have a fund balance, and I wonder if that has a little bit more discussion that anyone wants to make because of the pros and cons. Would you like to have Cottrell explain those a little bit more in terms of what that the benefits would be and the disadvantages of having a fund balance in the IMF?
Sherry, I think I understand the advantages and disadvantages of fund balance, but what is the interest cost that it would cost us to have a fund balance?
That's what I'm trying to get at is, yeah, what is the what are we paying in the for the Lanwin lease? And that's what I was hoping we would have today.
I have a tentative figures. So
okay.
For 17-18, it would be roughly $458,000. For 19, $300,000 in interest. And for 19-20, $157,000 in interest.
Okay, but the question is that interest only if we have a $2 million fund balance? Because we're talking about the delta, right? We're talking about if, okay, so are those costs in the difference of what it would be if we kept a $2 million fund balance? That's what we would pay extra.
That's based not including the $2 million fund balance. That's assuming a $0 fund balance.
So what would we,
For Lanwin, it would be $19,232,330 in 16-17 available for Lanwin.
But what's
but
the
I think,
cost
I'm
the,
sorry.
Yeah.
What's the delta? What's the cost, the additional cost of maintaining a $2 million fund balance for Lanwin?
Right.
Oh, we're doing the math now. I'm here. Yeah.
We'd have to go back and look. I mean, our assumptions were based on the earlier recommendation for $19 million, but it is not a ton of money. It's 3% for $10 million over a three-year period. So we're not talking if you're talking $1 million, you know, it's relatively small amount. But we'd have to go back because our planning so far has been based on your recommendations from February, which was $19 million.
That sounds like $90,000 over 3 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. It's close.
$10 million over 3 years?
Yes.
So that sounds like $30,000 a year.
Roughly, yeah.
Roughly, without going back and actually asking for new bids at the moment, that's what we're thinking, yes.
So the question is the $30,000 in extra interest worth the security of having a fund balance because of the uncertainty of some of the accounts?
And this is Rick Goldstein. It sounds like because interest rates are as low as they are, it may be to enable us to maintain other programs that are certainly beneficial to the courts.
Does anyone else have any thoughts? Judge Good, what do you think?
Well, it sounds like kind of cheap insurance to me.
Yeah, me too.
Right.
So does anyone want to make a motion to have to maintain a $2 million fund balance, which is identified on page 49 as item 5?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second Yamasaki.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. And on 6, Cottrell, would you like to explain how 6 should be discussed since we've now just considered having a $2 million fund balance?
Right. So essentially for 6, what's going to take place now is whatever further decisions you make pertain specifically for the Placer Court, the $736,500. The point we're making here is any additional monies that's available, excluding the $2 million fund balance and the Placer Court $736,500, would be appropriated for land WAN in 1617.
And I would suggest we put that on hold until after we have the discussion on Placer, because it may be that that's a higher priority than to put additional funds into land WAN since we do have a leasing option. Does that make sense?
I agree.
Okay. So, Judge Earl, okay to go back to item two? She may have signed off. She had to go back to court. Are you still there, Judge Earl? Okay. So I would suggest we go back to item two and talk about the recommendations related to the Placer hosting. So, would anyone like to discuss the first item that we need to discuss on page three, request number one? Is there a motion to support request number one?
Yeah, this is Mike Planet. I move we support request number one.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Moving to request number two, would anyone like to start the discussion on if the funding should be made available, and if so, from which account they would suggest?
Sure. Hey, Sherry, this is your question. Just let me kind of throw this out.
Okay.
Just a way to think about it a little bit.
Okay.
Now, no, I was really involved with the sustained user group for many, many years, and I can relay that these courts were largely encouraged to join this group, to be hosted by the CTCC, as it related to going to a unified statewide system. It was supposed to be an interim step, and they have cooperatively done so for many years. And as Judge Earl said, I think this is something that we needed to get back to a while back, and I'm glad that we are now doing so. But had that not occurred, the funds necessary for them to be more independent, so to speak, to be in more control of their IT program would have come from the trial court trust fund. So that being said, maybe that is where this money should come from, as opposed to the IMF, which is needed to fund many other specific programs throughout the state.
Does anyone have any additional thoughts or other thoughts? It's interesting that we moved the V3 costs from the trial court trust fund to the IMF fund because they're automation related, and that's where the V3 costs currently sit. So I can't help but wonder if maybe this is more related to the IMF than it is the trial court trust fund. But, you know, I could see it going either way.
I wonder, to pick up on David's point, if we have a better shot at getting innovation funding if it's in the IMF rather than the TCTF.
I think I would agree with that. I think you're right, and I do believe there may be more room in the IMF than there is the Trial Court Trust Fund as well.
Yeah, and I'm on the same page with you, Sherry. This is David.
This is Mike Planet. Although as I read the proposal, there's a timing issue. Those courts need to know for some amount of money the current fiscal year so they can begin to sign contracts, as well as for next year.
Right. So we're just trying to decide.
I don't know that we can wait through the process of determining how that $30 million, what's the criteria going to be, the process, and the timing for releasing those funds.
This is Brian, and I think this is very similar to how we handled the V2 for Fresno. And did we take that money from – I seem to recall we took that money from Trial Court Trust Fund. Is that accurate, or did it come from IMF?
No, it came from the 2% reserve fund.
Oh, for Fresno?
Right. It came out of that contingency reserve that all the courts had contributed money into.
Okay.
But obviously, we've changed the model significantly with respect to the use of that money. So I get what we had done before. But this, to me, it seems to more align with the goals and objectives contained in the IMF. And I also am sensitive to the fact that there is a sense of urgency to go forward. But I'm a little concerned about using the TCTF to fund a program such as this, especially if there's going to be direct impact to everyone in participating in this program.
And I just want to clarify that I was suggesting that we look at the IMF as the right account this fiscal year, but if the innovation money was available next fiscal year, it could be that we could replenish the fund with innovation money, but not to wait. I do think I actually am very supportive of the Placer Hosting Center. I think it's a good way to try to get courts to find solutions where they can work together to not use branch money for individual court uses. You know, V3 is, I pointed out, is continuing to be on the IMF until, what is it, 1920? And we're continuing to fund those four courts out of IMF. And I think for these courts, that if this is something that will help them to get off of the IMF account and they're willing to work together, I think it's a good collaboration.
So this is Brian. I'll make a motion to approve request 2 coming from the IMF.
This is Planet. I'll second.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay.
Sherry, this is David. I wonder if this body might consider looking at to the $30 million pot as a source to backfill programs such as this so as not to exclude these types of recommendations, but to rather ensure or hope that it gets considered in the process?
Excuse me, Sherry.
Yes?
This is Barry Good. This body has to go do a calendar. I have litigants waiting.
Thank you, Judge Good.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
David, I think that's a great suggestion, and so I would hope that Judicial Council staff that's putting together the criteria would help to, and maybe Justice Lauer, are you still on the phone?
I am.
Are you helping, is the JCTC helping to draft the criteria that would be used for the Innovations Fund, or how is that process going to work?
So it is still in the, embryo phase, and I think it's not fully developed yet, but it should be soon.
And I just want, this is Lucy, I just want to mention that the $30 million is one-time dollars that's only going to be available for innovations, like startup costs and that kind of thing, but will not support ongoing costs.
Right. Startup costs like this, $736,000, which is what David's suggesting. So I would hope that Judicial Council staff that's staffing the committees are helping to draft the procedures would keep in mind to draft them broad enough that we could seek to reimburse the IMF fund, because this is truly a startup cost for a great idea.
Yeah, and I'll take note of that and make sure that that issue gets discussed.
Okay, so going back to page 49, item 6, which was the remaining item, it seems to me that if there is any additional funding, I don't believe, Cottrell could correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think there will be any additional funding to go to Lanwan if we have the $2 million reserve plus the Placer. unless something significant happens.
Right. Well, where things stand now, based on the LMP need, the $2 million fund balance, the $736,500 for Placer, and the inclusion of the tentative initial decisions, what would be available for Landwin in 16-17 is $16,627,230.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions or concerns, anything else you'd like to talk about? So these recommendations will go to the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee next week, and I thank you very much.
Well, Sherry, do you want to act on 6B? So you just allocated funding for land, for the telecommunications program, but do you want to consider option 6B?
I'm not really sure. There is a 6B. That's why I asked Cottrell to outline that. I'm not sure that there will be.
So for 6B, it all depends on actual revenues in 15-16. So if we do our revenues in 15-16 exceed our estimates that are included in the current fund condition statement, that would mean our estimated fund balance will be over $2 million. Do you want to allocate that excess or the amount above $2 million to the telecommunications program?
Okay, if you think there's a chance to do that and fund Placer, then I would encourage a motion to put the extra money into Landwin. The options are put it into Landwin or carry it over plus the $2 million in fund balance. Those would be our two options. So does anyone want to have a motion one way or the other?
This is Rick Belson. I'll move that we put it towards Landwin rather than fund balance.
McCabe, second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any objections? Okay. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks, Sherry.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.